It was a massive operation, not just in terms of aircraft and fuel, but organization as well. Remaining in contact with all these islands, processing their demands, coordinating with distress, then trying to procure and prioritize all the materiel for each drop made it the statistically largest undertaking in Air Force history. We tried to stay away from consumables, things like food and medicine that required regular deliveries. These were classified as DDs, dependency drops, and they got a backseat to SSDs, self-sustaining drops like tools, spare parts, and tools to make spare parts. They don't need fish, Sinclair used to say. They need fishing poles. Still, every autumn we dropped a lot of fish and wheat and salt and dried vegetables and baby formula. Winters were hard. Remember how long they used to be? Helping people to help themselves is great in theory, but you still gotta keep them alive. Sometimes you had to drop in people, specialists like doctors or engineers, people with the kind of training you just can't get from a how-to manual. The Blue Zones got a lot of special forces instructors, not only to teach them how better to defend themselves, but to prepare them for the day they might have to go on the offensive. I have a lot of respect for those guys. Most of them knew it was for the duration. A lot of the Blue Zones didn't have airstrips, so they had to parachute in without any hope of pickup. Not all those Blue Zones remained secure. Some were eventually overrun. The people we dropped in knew the risks they were taking. A lot of heart, all of them.
That goes for the pilots as well.
Hey, I'm not minimizing our risks at all. Every day, we had to fly over hundreds, in some cases thousands of miles of infested territory. That's why we had purple zones.
She refers to the last color on the map. The purple circles are few and far between.
We set these up as refuel and repair facilities. A lot of the aircraft didn't have the range to reach remote drop zones on the East Coast if in-flight refueling assets weren't available. They helped reduce the number of ships and crews lost en route. They brought our fleet survivability up to 92%. Unfortunately, I was part of the other 8. I'll never be sure what exactly brought us down. Mechanical malfunction or metal fatigue combined with weather. We were on a hop from Phoenix to the Blue Zone outside Tallahassee, Florida. It was late October, almost full winter back then. Honolulu was trying to squeeze out just a few more drops before the weather socked us in till March. It was our 9th haul that week. We were all on tweaks, these little blue stims that kept you going without hampering your reflexes or judgment. I guess they worked well enough, but they made me have to piss my kidneys out every 20 minutes. My crew, the guys, used to give me a lot of grief, you know, girls always having to go. I know they weren't really putting the hate on, but I still tried to hold it as long as I could. After 2 hours of banging around in some seriously heavy turbulence, I finally broke down and turned the stick over to my co-pilot. I just zipped up when suddenly there was this massive jolt like God had just drop-kicked our tail, and suddenly our nose was dipping. The head on our C-130 wasn't even really a toilet, just a portable chem pot with a heavy plastic shower curtain. That's probably what ended up saving my life. If I'd been trapped in a real compartment, maybe knocked out or unable to reach the latch, suddenly there was this screech, this overpowering blast of high-pressure air, and I was sucked out right through the rear of the aircraft, right past where the tail should have been.